How's everyone doing today? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Everybody had a great week so far?
Yeah.
Full of healing, full of love, full of light? All right. Well, good. I was talking to Tim, the photographer, at lunch. And I told him I was going to speak on forgiveness today. And he said, "You mean they forgive in Tennessee too?" I said, "Yeah, there are a couple of us that forgive in Tennessee." My name is Taylor Tagg, and I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm very humbled and grateful to be here with you today. And I thank you to A Course in Miracles and International Forgiveness Week for having me. This has been a wonderful experience for me, and very, very grateful to be here today. I wrote a book recently called The Path to a Peaceful Heart. Tearing down the walls of childhood trauma, finding freedom, understanding, and purpose. When I sent my information in to this week, this Forgiveness Week, there was something in there that they saw in my book that was a spark of light to the people here and this week. And so I'm going to share with you what I call the path to a peaceful heart. It's in two parts. The first part will be my journey through a significant childhood trauma and my ability to work through that trauma and turn it around into one of my greatest assets. The second part of the book will be the process that I followed as I walked through that traumatic event to get to a place of peace, a place of true peace in my life, a peace as they describe in A Course in Miracles as a peace that cannot be disturbed. A peace that is there and is with you always, not only for this lifetime, but for all eternity. The peace that is there. It's always there for you, always waiting on you. So I'll describe the journey that I took, and I hope you will indulge me for a few minutes as I give you some of the pieces of my terrible, awful story, so that you can, not to show what I've been through, what I've done, but to see the transformation. The transformation from darkness into light, the transformation from trouble and pain and suffering into peace. And so I'll give you that and share with you those things. My journey as a child was happy. I was happy as a young kid. And I was happy. I was a basketball player, loved to play sports. And I was generally happy as a young child. But my journey into pain and suffering, I was not born with it. I was taught by an expert. And my parents had divorced, and they were living separately. I was living with my mom, and she had the responsibility of raising me herself. And I could tell she was struggling with that. She was struggling with the ability to raise me, provide financially for me, and I saw that. I saw that as a young kid, and I noticed that. And one day, we were shopping in a department store in Memphis, Tennessee, and a man appeared out of nowhere. This was an old high school acquaintance of my mother's. They had known each other from high school days and grown up in the same hometown, and this man suddenly appeared. And for whatever reason, my mother liked what he was presenting. They exchanged phone numbers. He began to come over to the house, and he was handy. He was handy with what he did. And he was about mid-50s. Perfectly parted gray hair. His name was Dan. He had big, thick, bottle rim glasses. You can imagine that. Had a pretty muscular build. You know, was pretty handy, pretty neatly dressed, and so forth. And so he began to come over to my mother's house and do handy things around the house to help out. Everything was very, very positive. Very, very positive. After a few months, things began to turn into something very negative. He began to yell and scream in our home. And it wasn't the nice things either. It was the tough stuff. He turned into a rageful person. And this man worked in a prison, so this kind of exacerbated his anger. But he was yelling at my mother and screaming at my mother, and I was right there absorbing every moment of it. Every moment of it, I was absorbing it and taking it in. And also, taking again as if he were talking to me, even though most of it was directed at my mother. So as time went on, this progressively got worse. and his sentences turned into rhetorical questions that made no sense. And the yelling and the screaming became tough and became difficult. And as a child, I took this all in too. And it was painful because as he would react to us, I would react right back. I would give the reaction right back because that's all I knew how to do. That's all I knew how to do. So as life went on, things got tougher. And this was more painful and more suffering ensued. To the point that one day I went in my room and I closed the door and I was just about had it. I was at my breaking point. And I got down on my knees and I offered up a prayer to God and I said, Lord, something in me is about to break. I am literally at my breaking point. Help me, please. Help me, please. I said, I don't care what I have to do for the rest of my entire life. I'm never coming back to this point of mental anguish ever again. I'm never coming back. And then I said, I will have peace. I will have peace. So I got up from that moment of intense pain, and something happened. One of the several miracles began to happen for me. And suddenly I stepped out of my life and began to look at life in a different way. I heard somebody say on television soon after that, don't take things so personally. Don't take things so personally. When people deal with you, you know it's their stuff. Don't take it so personally. And I instantly connected with that statement. And then I began to see life differently without the reactions. I kind of stepped out of my reactions, began to see reality from a different point of view without being in it so difficult and so tightly. Like Jesus told us to wear your life as a loose garment, I began to do that as a child, and life went on for me. After a few more years, I went and graduated from college. And one day my mom called me on the phone and said, Dan's not coming back. I don't know why, but he's not coming back. We both were relieved. At the same time, we really didn't care why Dan was coming back. But he wasn't coming into our lives anymore. So I went on with my life. Graduated from college, bought a house, bought a car, thought I was taking life by storm. And then suddenly one day I woke up on a Saturday morning in bed. And I remember sitting up in my bed and I had my fists clenched and I was mad. I was angry. And I had no reason why. I had no good reason to be angry. I had no reason why. So I thought, maybe that's something I should look at. And then I just kind of put it down. I didn't know what to do with it. I knew I was angry and had no good reason why. And so life went on. Life went on for me. And a few years later, I began to date a few women and have a few relationships. And I was dating a nice girl named Catherine. And Catherine was a nice, we had a lot of fun. We really liked each other. And suddenly the relationship ended. Suddenly it ended. And I had to ask her, I said, Catherine, why did this relationship end? I didn't understand why. And she said, Taylor, you're a great guy. We have a lot of fun. We have a great time together. But I don't know you. I don't know you at all. I don't know how you feel about anything. I don't know your perspectives on anything. And suddenly, as soon as she stopped talking, I realized an epiphany happened for me. I realized that all of my relationships had ended the same way. And I'd done a great job from the Dan days of blaming everyone else for my problems in life and making excuses for why I couldn't do things and thinking I had all the answers and I had the standard for living. And I can tell you what to do with your life if only you'll let me give me the chance to do that. And suddenly, as I was talking to Catherine, all of that fell away from me, fell on the floor. And I realized this was not an aha moment for me. This was the uh-oh. So I realized the problems I was having in life were not out there. They were in here. I was the problem, not anyone else. And that was a great awakening for me. I woke up that day. I woke up to the fact that everything I was creating in my life was my own. And that epiphany was important because it put me on a path to a peaceful heart. That day I began to walk that path. Mm-hmm. And not long after that, I realized suddenly another miracle happened. It's like the sky parted. And again, this was not an aha moment for me. It was more like a one of those moments. I suddenly realized that I had choices in life. I could choose how I move forward in life. And that was all up to me. I could choose what I was going to do with the rest of my life. Up to that point, and I was probably 24 years old at this point, up to that point in my life, I'd been a prisoner in my home. And everything that Dan had said and all the ranting and the raving and telling us we were not deserving and not good enough, I had put a tremendous wall around my heart. No emotions in and no emotions out. That was safety for me. That was necessary for me to survive in that situation. And suddenly I realized I had choices in life. And that was a miracle day for me, because I had just gotten to the point where everything had fallen away from me and all the false identities that I thought were me, the being right and having the standard for living and all the answers, suddenly I realized it was not me at all. But I realized at that point that I could choose who I was going to be from that moment forward. And that was a beautiful day on the path to a peaceful heart. More time, more years elapsed. And I needed to have the next step on this path, but I didn't quite know what to do. And so I offered a prayer up to God. I said, God, please send me the next step, whatever that is. And it's amazing when you offer up a prayer and you're ready for the answers. They start appearing. They start appearing quickly. And I was thinking back to those days of that difficulty, and I thought, maybe I should forgive him. Maybe I should forgive Dan for what happened in my home. And suddenly I began to see him in a different light. I saw that he had had a troubled childhood too. And he was probably replaying the tapes of his own childhood in my home. And suddenly I got my feelings out about him. And I wrote down on a piece of paper how I really felt about him and got all the good stuff out. And just wrote him a 4 or 5 page letter and got those feelings, my emotional truth, out on the table. And then suddenly I released the expectation that my life would ever be any different than it was. And that was a freeing moment for me too, because now I could accept my own childhood and everything that went along with it. And I gave Dan responsibility back for what he did. He took responsibility for my part in it as well and created a boundary around me of goodness and light. And as I did this, I allowed God's light and God's love to pour into me from above, from my soul that's above and connection to God. I allowed the light to pour into me, allow it to come through the top of my head and work through my body and get into my heart and fill those spaces that I was leaving as I was letting him go. And suddenly I found myself giving love and giving light to him and praying to God that God would find healing for him too. Even though that was a tough thing to do, I found myself really loving him, and I found what was good in him. That was a beautiful day because I forgave the person who created the havoc in my life and took responsibility that I created it myself. That was a beautiful day. A few more years passed, and there was one more piece to this puzzle that I needed, and I didn't quite know what it was. So again, I offered up to God. I said, I'm ready for the next one. Ready for the next one. And he said, all right then, here you go. And so not long after that, things began to happen. I found an online video of a lady named Brené Brown who was talking about vulnerability and shame. And I instantly connected with what she said. And so I went to see a psychologist because I wanted an answer really fast. And I sat down with her and I realized that I was carrying a lot of internal shame from my childhood. The shame of being a young man in his mother's home who was the man of the house and trying to get an abusive man out of his mother's house. And that was my main responsibility. And I was not able to do that. And I was failing over and over and over again. And I had a lot of shame there. And so she said, go home and sit down at the table and write down what you see. Go back to that time as a child in those days and write down what you see. So I did that. Went home and I sat down. And as I began to write, a vision came up right away. I mean, right away. And I saw an 11-year-old boy standing in the driveway of our home. He was leaned up against the house. He had a red and white horizontally striped shirt on. He had khaki shorts. He had white socks that went all the way up to his knees, you know, with the stripes there. Blue sneakers. And I saw that little boy standing in the driveway. And I thought to myself, as I got closer to him and looked at him, I saw that he had a lot of anguish on his face. He was utterly defeated. He was looking for somebody to come get him, but nobody was coming to get him. And so as I stayed with that vision in my mind's eye, I stepped right into the picture. And I went up to the little boy who was standing right there. And he knew exactly why I was there. And I said these words to him. I said, Taylor, your job is done. Your work is finished here. You've done a really good job. But now I'm going to take you away from this place forevermore. You're safe with me now. And so, as I said these words, little boy with big blue eyes looked up at me and began to cry. And I looked down at him and I was crying too. And then I bent down to the little boy and I brought him in close to me and I hugged him. I hugged him. And as I did that and I hugged the little boy and me, we became one. The little child and me and the adult became the same person. I had gone back and rescued the little child in me that needed to be rescued because no one came to get him. And as I did that, I'll try to describe to you what happened. It's tough to describe what happened. But as I did that, the monstrosity of the 30 years, the 10 years of that situation, and the 20 years of searching that went along with that, the monstrosity of that whole situation and the bigness of being a 10-year-old boy and the bigness of life and people are big and things are big and that situation was big, that situation suddenly went like this. In my mind's eye, the 30 years of struggle was like the size of a tennis ball. And I could see from beginning to end everything that happened. The beginning of the abusive situation, the getting out of it, finding my pattern, finding Joyce, forgiving my abuser, and forgiving myself. And I realized in that moment, everything that I had done to that point, that whole 30 years, was put in my life so I could overcome it. And I realized that my situation is everyone's situation. It just has a different name, looks a little different, has different facets, but it's all the same. And I saw the infinite beauty in everything around me. Everybody was one, and God's love was really all that mattered. It was because I went through this situation in order to find God's love. That was the purpose of the whole thing. That was a beautiful day. When you realize the infinite power of God's love and that it's here for us all, every single one of us, if only we just look for it and grab onto it because it's ours for the taking. I thought a lot about how I got to that place of peace. And I'm going to share with you the journey of how I got to that place of peace, what I call the peace process. The first P is to practice becoming an observer witness. And as I stepped out of my life that day, as I got down on my knees and prayed, I realized that observing and becoming a witness to my life, rather than feeling and being in the crux of everything, was a good way to go. One of the ways that I like to do that is I like to pull out of the situation, pull out of my life, and ascend above myself and look down as if I was on the top of a tall building and I see life happening on the ground, but I'm not really a part of it. But I'm looking at it for ways that I can be better in it, not necessarily of it. So I ascend to 10,000 feet. I say the words, "How interesting." How interesting is that when Dan yells at my mom, he tries to pull me into the situation. How interesting that it took me 30 years to get through this situation. Without feeling one way or about it or another, I ask those words and I say those words, "How interesting." As I had that day with Catherine in the breakup, I found myself in a repeating pattern. All my relationships were ending the same way, and it was not them that was a problem, it was me. I was the issue. I have a repeating pattern. And so that day, I found that pattern and began to incorporate God's love into my life and ask Him to heal that pattern for me. But I identified it first. Not soon after that, I realized I had the power to choose what I was going to do. I didn't know who I was at that point in my life, but I knew that I could choose who I wanted to be. And I went from a person who had all the right answers and having the standard for living into a person of kindness, forgiveness, love, light, beauty, and joy. I intentionally began to be that person because that's how Jesus walked. That's how God is. And I wanted to be in that company and receive God's love. So I began to apply choice. I changed my mind. And as I did that, I took responsibility for everything that happened in my life. Everything. I was the creator of it. So therefore, I took 100% responsibility. And as I did that, I took my power back. I had given away my power to Dan by reacting, by giving him the ability to control my thoughts and my actions. And I began to take power back when I applied choice and I changed my program, my thoughts, to be the person that I wanted to be on my own terms with God's help. I claimed my freedom through the forgiveness of another. And that day I said, offer up a prayer to God and asked God and to forgive Dan for everything that had happened. And that day, I became free. I broke down the walls that I had created around my heart as a means to protect myself. They came crashing down. And one of the reasons why is I claimed my freedom through the power of forgiveness, forgiveness of another. And that was a beautiful, beautiful day for me. The final piece to the peace process was to elevate my heart and soul through the forgiveness of myself. As they say in the Course in Miracles, that forgiving yourself is really all that matters, right? It's all that matters. In that day, I completed my journey by forgiving myself for letting the little boy in me off the hook of trying to get that man out of the house and not doing it day after day after day after day, and being a person who was difficult, and being a person who had all the answers. And I let myself go that day. I let myself feel God's love through the forgiveness of myself. And that's the peace process. That's the peace process of which I walked through over a 30-year period with the help of God, God's love, and God's guidance, helping me to get to a place of peace. And that peace still resides in me today. It's a peace that I really can't describe to you, but it's a peace that lasts. It's not a fleeting moment. It lasts and lasts. And that day for me was beautiful. That day for me, I realized that everything in life was the same. We're all one. We're all connected. Everything is connected. I saw the infinite beauty in everything there was around me. And that's a day you don't want to forget. You always remember those moments. Everything that you've done in life, everything that I've done in life, both good and bad, has brought you here to this place. Everything that you've done in life has brought you here to the International Forgiveness Week. And time stands still for us to be lovers, to be people of forgiveness, and to know God's love this week, and to rejoice in that. That's the beauty of this week, to remember why we're here, to remember why we're going home. The peace process provided that for me. Course in Miracles provides that for you. And we're all the same. We're all one in God's eyes. Absolutely. Yay. And so I thank you for having me. I'm humbled and grateful to be here before you. And I'm thrilled to be here. And I'm glad that you guys asked me to speak with you today. And I hope I've been worthy of your time.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.